On the cover, the Vice and the Electric Kid sit at wooden school desks. Graviton hovers over the desk behind them. At the front of the classroom stands the Mantis with his arms crossed, observing the young superheroes. Across the chalkboard are the words, "Test Today." Wonderworld Comics is proud to present Unlikely Encounters, Volume 6, Party Animals, Issue 3, Tongue Tied.
Prepare yourself, dear reader, for another gripping tale of adventure, drama, and self-discovery. This is Wonder World Comics.
We are going to be opening our comic book with Gray. Gray, you are at one of your temp jobs at Old Town Roller Rink. Do you want to tell us a little bit what that looks like, what you do there?
It is actually Ye Old Roller Rink. They're very similar names. Gray hates it.
That shocks me.
He is a temporary worker for the Lazy Labor Temp Agency. Mariel and Black Falcon, without telling him, have pulled some strings, so he always ends up working for a St. James establishment. It's about as grueling and humiliating as any teen job can be, but it's worse because he's a snobby rich kid. The Ye Old Roller Rink is ridiculous. It is medieval night themed. It is giant. It's reminiscent of a ski lodge, and it's extremely posh.
And I am going to have you roll for obligations, because that's a thing you do now.
That is a thing I do now. All right, that is my mundane. I have plus 2 to mundane, and that is a 9. A 6 plus a 1 plus a 2.
Heck yeah.
It's not a 10.
It is not a 10.
And I, if I'm remembering this move correctly, on a 7 to 9, it's kind of your choice what is brewing that maybe is going to become a problem for you later. Is that right?
Yeah. When time passes and I roll on my obligations, hit things are going pretty well and I have an opportunity. But on a 7 to 9, I've lapsed on one of my obligations, my choice. And I think it's pretty clear that the obligation I lapsed on was missing a few shifts. And so management's not super happy with me. I end up hopping all over town, so I ended up in the Caravan James in the Burbs thinking, hey, that's where my shift is today, and it wasn't. I'm behind. There's been kids' parties, like, going crazy. There's just icing smeared across his face. Every part of him sticky, and it's not a good day hosting children parties at the Ye Old Roller Rink.
Yeah, I think we actually catch him with the icing on his face and trying to break up a... couple of middle schoolers who decided to joust since it was a medieval themed roller rink, but that actually is against the rules. So
they got the foam caps off the little like clay lances that we send them out there to beat each other with. So, you know, it was maybe actually potentially dangerous.
Gray is kind of lapsed some of his shifts, but he's here now and he's doing the work. And after he finishes breaking up this little impromptu jousting tournament with the middle schoolers, he is headed back to the front desk, which is near some very large windows. And as he looks out the windows, he is witnessing what appears to be a crime. So what he sees out on the street, a little bit of ways down the street, like he's not super close to it, but can definitely see what appears to be a woman being shot and having a package stolen from her.
Gray is going to immediately spring into action. He's going to pull out from kind of a hidden pocket he has in his work pants his Black Falcon burner phone, and he's going to dial 911. It doesn't call the police. It does call a special, like, report a crime, like, hotline the superheroes have set up. Since he doesn't have his gear on him, he just wants to make sure someone responsible will end up being on scene, and he's running out to try to, like, administer first aid. He's already ripping off his sleeves for no other reason than to apply bandages. It's purely for the patient.
Obviously.
Yeah, no
obviously.
Other reasons could be even surmised of.
It's very
there is, like,
generous of him.
Icing on the sleeves, so like they're not the best possible tourniquet, but is the person who did the shooting like already gone? Was it one of those things where I saw it through the window and I'm just having like the ability to get there as this person's like going down? Or
yeah, so you see her go down, and because it is a little bit away Zaway down the street. The person who shot, it is a woman. The person who shot her does have a pretty good head start. You're also unsure from the angle where exactly she was shot. You just see her fall down. So you're not totally sure just from watching if she's okay. So I think it would probably make sense for you to go to her first.
Oh, Gray absolutely would go to her first anyways. As seen in Dagger Diabolik with Agatha, he definitely, like, he understands his job in these situations is to make sure no one's hurt first before, like, beating the crap out of somebody. That comes later. So, yeah, he's going to get there and be like, ma'am, I saw you got shot. Where are you hit? Are you okay?
Yeah, and you're going to look at her and see that she has been shot, like, right in the chest. Like, she does not look good. She is lying in a puddle of blood. But weirdly enough, you see her wounds kind of start to close up, and she just sits up and grimaces and says, oh, that's so embarrassing. And then we turn the page.
If she's fine. Well, I mean, I guess it's not important if she's like fully healing. I was going to be like, oh, he's going to use his power like inadvertently to boost her healing. But it's like, that's not necessary. So like, I can just save that for later. Definitely turn the page.
Cool. We will turn the page then. And we will meet Steve. And Steve, you are just getting home from school.
Oh, boy.
Can you perhaps sense that I'm about to ask you to roll for obligations?
Okay, that's a hit. That's a 6 plus a 2 plus a 1. Or 6 plus 2 plus minus 1. For my mundane is not very right now. Cool. So things are going pretty well. And I have an opportunity or advantage thanks to one of my obligations, but I've lapsed on one obligation of my choice. I think his mom is starting to suspect that he is going out and doing something dangerous and is like at the point where she's ready to like talk to him about it.
So I think your mom is still at work when you get home. But she has maybe left a note on the fridge that she wants to talk to you over dinner and, you know, not to make plans with Ryan or whatever, to like make sure you're there for dinner. And so you're going to see this note, and then you are going to head up to your bedroom. We've been in Steve's bedroom before, but do you want to give us a quick refresher on sort of what it looks like?
Yeah, it's pretty chaotic. He's got like piles of different stuff everywhere. He's got bookshelves that are like filled with comics and like different like anime figures. And he's got lots of like Lego sets, all kinds of different movie posters on the wall, superhero posters. Yeah, clothes kind of strewn everywhere. Bed's a mess.
Cool. And as you walk into your room, it is perhaps so chaotic that it takes you a moment to realize that someone is in there, and he happens to be looking at a poster of your favorite superhero, the Mantis, which is a little awkward since the person in your room is, in fact, the Mantis himself.
Oh, shit. Steve steps inside and immediately shuts the door behind him. You're not supposed to be here. I mean, what are you? Holy shit.
He's going to kind of stare at you and say, do you want me to go outside and pretend I don't know? Would that make you feel better?
No, please, continue. Hi.
Hi. And he's going to kind of cast one last look at the poster before turning back to you. We met briefly when you fought the conductor.
Yeah, cool. I do remember that.
He's going to stare at you long enough that I think you're maybe already uncomfortable, but he's just kind of observing you.
How can I help? Or what do you need? I assume like you're not here to just like chat with me.
No, I'm not here to chat with you casually. Here's the thing. I've been monitoring the situation with the teen heroes in this city, and frankly, that's not something I want to do, but it's been a little weird since these laws went into place. And anyway, for lack of a better training program for young heroes. I'm trying to keep an eye on some of the up-and-coming little powered kids in this city. And I was impressed with your work previously. And I'm interested in maybe seeing a little bit more of what you can do. Would you be interested in something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Holy shit. I mean, of course, I won't let you down. And Steve is, like, visibly shaking with excitement.
The mantis is notoriously difficult to read. Like, his mask doesn't really do facial expressions, and he just kind of has these glowing red eyes, but the lack of expression feels a little judgmental. But he is going to give you some coordinates. He sends them right to your phone. He's a technopath, and he can just do that. And he's going to say, can you meet us there at 11 p.m., or do you have curfew?
No, I can make that work, for sure. 11 p.m., you got it.
Great, don't be late. And he takes off out your window.
Holy shit!
Steve gets experience for that, right? Someone knows his secret identity?
It's only when he tells someone who doesn't already know.
Oh, okay. All right.
If there's anyone in the Wonderworld comics universe that I think it makes sense for them to know someone's identity, it's probably the Mantis.
Yeah, Kyra asked me if I was okay with Mantis knowing Steve's secret identity, and I was just like, I don't really know how it's impossible for him not to if he wants to. Like, Steve and Ryan are not subtle when they text each other.
And he's just so nosy. It's so easy for him to
be. It makes perfect sense. I just didn't know if you got potential for it. I guess this isn't Drew, but you know, you're a little potential starved on some characters.
I'm potential starved on both of my characters, honestly.
Yeah, so I think we get a panel of Steve just basking in whatever it was that just happened, and maybe freaking out a little bit.
Definitely freaking out a lot.
Yeah.
Bless you.
Thank you. And then we turn the page, and KT, what are you up to?
KT is floating probably 2 miles above the top of the city, observing all of the little flashing twinkly lights that make up the makeshift artificial skyline on the ground. The reds and the yellows and the greens and the winks of white and brighter yellows as office building lights turn off for the night.
That is beautiful. You are going to hear the voice of the mantis on your comms. I think you're far enough above the city that it's maybe going to come through a little crackly. KT, can you read me?
I can read you.
You want to get a little closer so that the signal doesn't keep breaking up?
I can. I shall rocket towards... where's my handy dandy little map of New Olympus? Here we go. I'm going to rocket towards the lighthouse at 600 miles an hour and come to a stop probably 1,000 feet from. Is that better?
Yes, thank you. I am having a few other heroes your age run a little simple mission tonight. Would you be able to join them 11 p.m.?
What is the current time?
Well, it does seem to be a evening if the office lights are going out. I don't know what season it is, so that could be anywhere from like 5 p.m. to 9 p.m.
I'm having a blast pretending that this is all from the mantis.
Thank you, Sawyer.
You guys can't see it because unfortunately this is a purely audio media, but I have a swivelly office chair that I sit in to record this, and I'm gently spinning this with my feet off the floor, pretending to float while I imagine the mantis sitting there. Well, the office lights are going dim.
We're gonna say it's 8 p.m. Did KT ask Mantis what time it was, or did Sawyer ask Kyra?
KT did, technically. KT does not own a watch. 8 p.m. Earthican Standard Time. I believe that is 40,030 galactic. Understood.
Great, I'll see you then. And I don't know if there's anything in the cannery district besides warehouses, because that's all we've ever used it for. But
I mean, that just sounds like there can be whatever you want there to be.
No, it's cool. We can be like on top of a warehouse, like on a warehouse roof.
Ironically, there is a corner of the cannery district that only breeds canaries.
That's not where we're at, though, unfortunately.
Damn it.
Another issue, perhaps. Oh, I guess we could be there. It is party animals. Screw it. We're at the canary factory.
That brings all sorts of ethical questions.
I don't think we're going to stay at the canary factory, but we might be adjacent to it. Who is showing up first to this little meeting point?
Nobody. I'm just assuming after saw the woman's wound heal, something happened.
Justin. Yeah. Sorry. I forgot to get you.
I was like, I want to be helpful here, but I don't know how to be helpful.
Yeah. Let's go back to Vice for a second. You have witnessed this crime. You saw the person get away. I think you maybe were able to assess that the person who shot the woman and stole the package was one of Jack Steele's associates. You might recognize some of his weaponry.
Yeah, they got a distinctive smell. It's weird, kind of sour. I don't know, it kind of reminds him of birds, but in a bad way.
Oh, boy.
That's the Canary District. It's all falling into place.
He recognizes said henchman.
So what do you do in the aftermath of this scene?
Gray, while his social graces may not hold up with retail personnel, does pretty quickly get a handle on what's happening in the situation, and he helps this woman up and pretends as if like, oh, hey, that asshole just knocked you down. Like, so sorry about that. And I'm assuming she healed. Is she still covered in blood?
Oh, yeah.
If she is, he's going to try to like take off some kind of like vest he has that's made to look like a suit of armor, but isn't, because obviously it's medieval knight themed, and let her zip that up to cover up like the giant patch of blood, because there is Farsec around and, you know, doesn't want someone who's powered to maybe get caught up in something they don't want to. And
he is going to offer it to her, and she's kind of squint at it, say, not my style, but thank you. And then you see her clothes start to change too. Kind of in a similar manner to the way she healed herself.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
She's not
looks
covered
like
in blood anymore.
You got that part covered, he says, as he's just watching like the blood stains dissipate.
Yeah, and she says, thank you for trying to help. I've got to run and make a phone call, because that was a whole situation right there. And then she's going to do finger guns at you and walk away.
He's got a raised eyebrow and just like watches her until she's out of sight. And then he'll step into like a nearby alley and call Black Falcon and make his report and let him know that he'll be following up in the cannery district tonight, because, yeah, he knows a Jack Steele henchman when he smells one.
So I think Gray has maybe, sorry, the Vice has been hanging out in the cannery district doing a little bit of snooping.
That is where the pickle pit is. And he likes music.
Well, there you go. And he might perhaps get the sense that something is going on at the
scent.
The scent that. Well, I think some other people are starting to show up to the canary factory. And I feel like factory is not the word I should be using. The canary. Nope, it's a factory. Okay.
It's a birdcage. They call it the birdcage.
I don't know. So, yeah, he might perhaps recognize the electric kid in the area.
The Vice grimaces as he watches sparks of blue electricity dance across the buildings, slowly but surely making them, well, actually, no, quickly and haphazardly making their way in his direction.
There we go. Oh, it's God. Much more accurate.
So it sounds like maybe Steve is getting to this party first, which would be weird for him.
Oh, what I guess I mean is, like, Vice is there, or at least in the area. I guess he doesn't have the coordinate. He's just watching Steve come towards, and he just coincidentally is near the area because smells. And he feels, like, kind of self-conscious because he's like, am I becoming Diego? He was always the one who'd follow a scent somewhere. It's kind of weird.
Kind of weird.
Vice Mark's insecure.
Good. Just what we want going into the fight. Okay. So who is showing up first?
Yeah, Vice can watch Steve arrive. Yeah, Steve's gonna there's a kind of like a flash as he does like a thunder powered jump across like the like a train yard over to the Canary Factory. And then kind of like blast static electricity out of his palms to kind of like slow his descent and like almost glide a little bit. And it looks pretty cool, but then like he wobbles at the last second and like falls and like stumbles. And then like stands up and brushes himself off and looks around and doesn't see anyone else around. And feels good that no one saw that, but that he is getting a little bit better at that.
Yeah, unfortunately, someone did see that.
He doesn't know that, though.
No, I think it maybe takes him a second to to see that on this rooftop is the Mantis, and the reader will recognize her as the woman that Gray saw. She does look a little bit different, so her face is the same, but previously we saw her with, like, kind of this long red hair, and her hair now is kind of in a short, sleek... not like super short, but like chin length, kind of straight brunette cut. So she definitely looks different, but does still seem to be the same woman to the reader. But Steve doesn't know that. So Gray, are you following onto this roof or just going to hang out?
If he wasn't invited, he'll like probably like sneer from a nearby rooftop while not being like super visible. Like he just stand in a cast shadow. But I don't think he would just like make himself known and walk over. He would be standing in shadows and glaring.
So Steve has arrived and he almost looked cool doing it. KT, how are you getting here?
KT shall descend from the heavens until they are eye level with the Mantis, but not standing on the roof.
The Mantis has been talking to this woman, and when KT is floating directly in front of his face, he does stop his conversation.
KT shall back up a little bit.
Appreciated by him, I'm sure. I don't really care personally.
KT has recently learned about bubbles.
And walking. KT's making great strides this season.
KT is starting to develop calves.
The character development we all wanted. Cool. So the two people that were invited were there, as well as Gray is nearby. I'm so sorry, Justin. I know we talked about this right before we got on and I wasn't paying enough attention to my notes.
It's all good.
It's all good. You're in the vicinity. So with both of you there, Mantis is going to kind of turn to you and say, here's what we've got going on. This is my associate, Talia, and... she is, like KT, not from this planet.
Uh-oh.
Mantis kind of looks at that and says, she seems fine so far. She did, however, have a little stowaway on her ship when she arrived. It was, how would you describe it? And he looks at her and she says, interdimensional varmint. And he kind of nods at that and says, yes, something like that. It was stolen today by Jack Still, and we need to get it back.
Steve also nods like he knows what an interdimensional varmint is. He does not.
Mantis is going to kind of pause and say, any questions so far?
What is a varmint?
Gray is going to yell, or I should say, the Vice is going to yell from the other roof. Hey, EK! Why didn't you call me, asshole? I gave you that phone more than a month ago! This is when you use that phone!
Dude, look who I'm here with! I can't just, like, invite my friends!
We're definitely not friends! And while he's shouting this, he's starting to climb over to the other roof.
Exactly! So why would I call you?
And he's climbing up the other roof. He says, because I'm the team leader! You need me here! He does believe that, whether it's true or not.
The Mantis and Talia exchange a look. And then Talia says, to answer your question, KT, It's a creature. It's a rodent of sorts. It's from a different planet, so they're not like the rodents we have here. And actually, the name for them on my home planet doesn't, like, it can't really be articulated with the human tongue.
It is an akuzma?
No, not one of those. I'm just going to call it a lick-lick, you know, because of all the tongues.
Are you from Theta 12?
No, I wish. That'd be cool.
That is a very interesting planet.
Yeah. Not my home planet, though. Mantis is going to say, any other questions?
I have one.
Yes, KT.
KT shall point at the Electric Kid and Vice. Who are these two?
They are going to be your teammates for this evening. Now, I'm going to be handling Jack Steele. I've got a little bit of a distraction set up for him in Old Town. But you three, I guess, are going to be working with Talia here to retrieve the package that was stolen earlier. And she will be reporting back to me on how you do. Understood?
Indeed.
Yes, sir.
I salutes.
The Mantis is going to kind of nod to Talia and say, I'll leave you to it then. And he is going to take off.
KT shall wave.
The Mantis does not wave back. Unfortunately, he is. I don't know that he saw.
Steve will also wave.
The Vice does not wave, clearly.
KT shall turn to the Vice and continue waving.
KT also needs to develop biceps.
Hi, I'm the Electric Kid. I do, like, electricity stuff. This is Vice. He does, what? It was something. What is it? What do you do again? Can you remind us?
So I said earlier, Vice marks insecure. He didn't because he's already insecure. This would have just been a third instance where he would have marked insecure. Let's just say Vice has some insecurities.
Noted.
Let's see. How is he going to answer that? He's not. He's just going to turn to Talia and say, okay, so what's the job?
She's going to kind of sigh and say, I'm going to be completely honest with you. When I told the Mantis that I'd been kind of lonely since coming to this planet, I was like hoping for a dinner date or something and not whatever this is. But we do need to get that package back. So.
Electric Kid puts his hand up like he has a question.
Yes, EK.
Oh crap, I forgot.
Stop embarrassing me in front of the... And then he, like, pauses and tries to figure out the most currently correct way to address those from other planets. He doesn't know it. Stop embarrassing me, man.
KT shall stop waving.
Oh, I remember what he was going to say. Yeah, Steve puts his hand up for Bill this time.
I would like to think he put his hand up, but then said, oh, wait, I forgot. Put his hand down.
Yeah, no, okay, yeah. Yeah, I don't think Mantis is like the dinner date type. I mean, I just met him. But those were just the vibes I got.
Were you trying to go to dinner with him?
I was not.
She kind of tosses her hair over her shoulder and says, well, he's not a dinner date kind of guy yet.
I do not know if the Mantis eats.
It's been my experience that most people on this planet do. Most of them. You know what does eat, the lick-lick? Let's go. And she is going to kind of beckon you to follow her to a warehouse a little bit down the street. And she's going to, you're going to still be on the rooftops. And she is going to be kind of looking in.
Is this the parakeet factory?
Sure.
Yes.
I mean, it's one of Jack Steele's warehouses.
Okay. I mean, it's obviously a front. It brands itself as a parakeet factory, but
yeah.
Are we deciding actively to go against canaries, or is this just like one of those like?
So there's a canary
slips. Okay, so this is a different factory. All right, yeah, just clarifying. Well, so we went from the canary factory and now we're at the parakeet factory. Just making sure I know where we're
at.
Yeah,
no, I can see how that would be confusing to everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's also, just to reiterate, it's not a real parakeet factory. That's just the front for laundering money.
Parakeet is the name of the guy who owns the place. He's from New Jersey.
Yeah, the chemicals they mix there just like suspiciously smell like, you know, bird shit. So everyone's just like playfully started naming them after, you know, the birds that are the same color of the building.
I feel like we're really building on the lore of New Olympus as a city tonight.
This we just figured out no one knows what goes on in the cannery district. Like, they have to know.
I think people don't want to know what goes on in the cannery district the more we talk about it.
Sorry, continue. We arrive at the parakeet factory. That's not a parakeet factory.
So we arrive at this location, and we are kind of looking in through one of the high windows on the roof. From inside, we can see that there does appear to be some sort of truck that is being loaded up. It is being loaded up with a few odds and ends. Gray, you might recognize the package that was stolen earlier, but Talia kind of nods to it and says, okay, that's our target. We need to get the package that's in that weird glass kind of cylinder thing for sure. We can get some other stuff while we're at it. I feel like that would help me get that dinner date, but for sure, we need the one with the lick, which is the big glass-like one. Does everyone see it? Everyone see it? We all good here? You looking?
Yes.
Yes.
This is nodding.
Excellent. And you see that there are like 5 or 10. We'll go with 10. I'm feeling feisty tonight. There are like 10 henchmen just kind of scattered around doing various tasks in this warehouse. And Talia is going to say, it's your guys' time to shine. I'm going to take some credit for this for my own purposes, but it's your guys' time to shine. And I think if you can create a distraction, I can get to the package. She gives you a thumbs up.
Yeah, don't worry. I got this.
Our time to shine.
And then she is going to turn into a parakeet. They do have a few actual parakeets around the place.
Just to keep up appearances.
Yeah. And she is going to fly into the warehouse and wait for your distraction. No one said she was a good team leader. Oh, I wasn't paying enough attention to my notes. Around this time, Gray and Steve both get a text on their burner phones from one Shatter, who just in all caps says, "Watch out for Beefcake."
Vice believes she is taunting him about Pitbull, his ex. The inclusion of Beef was just like, you know, too specific to Pitbull to be, you know, missed.
Yeah. Weird of her to do that in the group chat, but that seems like
she's super vindictive and, you know, like everyone's out to get him. It's just the paranoia creeping up. It's like, yeah, just like angry reacts it. Little angry emoji.
Valid interpretation of that text.
Steve's not really quite sure what to make of that, but just sends like, got it, thumbs up, and makes a mental note not to take anyone on who is much larger than him, which is usually something he tries to do anyway.
You do get a follow-up text a second later that's not in all caps, that just says, he's Joe Science's muscle, and that's the follow-up you get. Talia is still inside waiting for you to do a distraction.
I mean, sorry, we're distracted.
She'll be waiting a second longer as Vice turns to KT and says, okay, so you, what do you do?
I am KT. I am a Midnighter.
Yeah, I've heard of you guys. But like, what can you do? Are you useful?
I am doing it right now.
Okay, so Vice is going to turn back to EK. Okay, this thing's useless. What I'm going to do, I'm going to sneak in. This is a Jack Steel warehouse, and like, they definitely have weapons in here. Every single one of these places has weapons. I'm going to get you in. Can you just blow them up?
I might.
You might blow them up?
I might be able to. I mean, are they like
Will they blow up if I shoot them with a bunch of electricity?
I mean, most weapons are flammable.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, I can handle the... I got the weapons. I can blow up the weapons.
Okay. And I want to activate all the best stuff. And it's a compilation of caches of equipment and weaponry that other supers have hidden around the city. When you access a cache, say whose cache it is. Jack Steele. If it's a hero's, roll savior. If it's villain's, roll danger. On a hit, you find a tool or useful intel to your situation. The GM details. On a 7-9, you leave evidence you've been here. On a miss, you've tripped an alarm and they're coming. Prepare to explain yourself.
Okay, why don't you give us that roll?
And I'm going to activate the mask and swap my mundane to 0 and up my danger to 2 because it is a danger roll. And he's taking on his hero identity. That is an 8.
Okay, and I know you just read the move, but on an 8, you find something useful. You do leave some evidence here there. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Tis correct.
Why don't you tell me what your approach to getting this weapon is?
The Vice has a pretty good knowledge of a lot of the infrastructure and basic like buildings of everything in the Cannery District. He knows everything along like this block has a similar setup, and all of these buildings have a basement level and a lower level. So with EK, he's just going to keep to the shadows and try to make it down into the lower level, because that seems like the most apt place to keep weapons. And yeah, any person he comes along, he's just doing the classic Batkid-esque takedowns. Awesome. Knockout in a way that's not like actually possible, but leaves the person unharmed sort of thing. Drags them into the shadows and they don't wake up until it's convenient.
I love that.
Amazing.
I do think that the evidence that you have been here, unfortunately, is that you get some of whatever chemical nonsense is going on here, and you smell like the Parakeet Factory now. and it might just stick on your suit for a while. Who can say? I don't know how long it takes that stuff to wash out.
Oof.
All right. I get some of the horribly viscous smelly chemical on me. Yeah, that stuff's not coming out.
Oh man, the sacrifices we make. What kind of weapon do you acquire?
It sounds like it's some kind of horribly smelling, just super flammable and dense chemical that they've been using to power like a new type of like hyper propellant gun. It looks like it's like ammo capsules, but when it's like out of the capsule, it's just like this nasty, stinky substance. But it just may happen to be linked to the weapon that shot Neptune.
Ooh. Wow.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, so you acquire this weapon and you bring it back to this kind of main loading area?
The main goal was to just cause a distraction. So, like, Vice, like, peered in the door after, like, he made sure what was in there. He's like, okay, dude, just, like, spark up that room. He just, like, leaves the door cracked and, like, a small trail of it, like, out. And they're, like, 20 feet back from it there. And it's like, yeah, do your thing.
Steve's going to step forward and kind of, like...
One second. First, I got to ask, did KT come with us? Or after I ignored them?
KT bent heat and light to become invisible and followed behind Vice and the Electric Kid.
See, Gray doesn't know that you can just ask KT to unleash a disco to cause a distraction. He didn't think of that.
He thought to ask, and he was not satisfied with the answer. He is an impatient individual.
Oh, there you go.
Vice asked a very useful question. What can you do? It is not Vice's fault that an insufficient answer was given. Vice decided to get the job done.
He is very driven to impress the Mantis. It is part of his respect mechanic.
Steve is also driven to respect, impress the Mantis, and it is part of his just being a nerd mechanic.
It's also part of Talia's drive, but maybe for different reasons.
KT is driven to whatever direction the Mantis tells them to go currently.
Really just driving this team, isn't he? You've acquired this weapon.
Well, I thought Steve was, ramping up to do something.
Yeah, yeah. Steve cracks his knuckles, and he is going to kind of, like, extend his hands to either side of him, and it's kind of like in this, yeah, kind of like a dungy, like, unfinished basement type thing, I'm imagining.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he, like, starts pulling electricity out of, like, the bare bulbs, and then the, like, fuse box, like, the front panel kind of, like, pops off the wall, and there's, like, a bunch of smoke and then just, like, tons of electricity pouring into Steve, and he's going to charge up his burn.
Okay, why don't you give us that roll?
Okay. Let's see. I need to roll plus conditions marked, which is 1.
Ooh.
Ooh, and that is an 11. On a hit, hold 3. And then I don't have to mark a condition because it was a full success. And then I can spend that on flares. I will... Oh, yeah, okay. And then I am going to spend one of my burn to unleash a reality storm to channel a destructive giant burst of energy and directly engage a threat. Well, I guess I don't know if it is directly engaging a threat, technically. I don't know. But yeah, instead of rolling freak, instead of rolling danger, I roll plus freak. And I am not going to spend an additional burn to avoid causing unwanted collateral damage.
Oh, good.
Because I want collateral damage.
I'd be lying if I said I didn't also hope for a little collateral damage.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, so yeah, I will charge. Yeah, so I will spend one burn to directly engage these chemical weapons with just a giant arcing explosion of lightning. Awesome. I don't think that actually helps me at all, but it is cool.
That's the only thing that matters.
Oh, boy. Okay. That is a 3 plus a 1 plus a 1.
I'm going to say that we are going into battle against a foe.
Excellent. Excellent. I appreciate that.
I feel like they know you're here now, so
we
can trigger this. Okay. Hey, fine. Where do you...
Yeah, I feel like me rolling this low definitely at least lets someone know that we're here.
Perhaps everyone. Who can say?
Who could say?
Who is the leader?
Oh, dear.
Start there, right? This might get interesting.
Grayson believes he is the leader.
Steve also believes Grayson is the leader.
Oh.
Funnily enough. Because he kind of, like, took charge on the way in. And he's, like a real protege, you know? And Steve's just kind of, like, you know, just the electric kid kind of still. So he would kind of defer to him anyway.
Neither of these two are Midnighters. However, Vice seems like the more dominant of the two.
Oh, that seems unanimous then. I like that Vice wasn't even invited, and now he's the leader. Okay.
The best invitation is the one you give yourself to a party you weren't invited to.
There we go.
I mean, it takes real leadership to just charge into a party that you're not invited to. Mr. The Vice, do you have influence over every teammate?
This is the first time encountering this entity. Vice only has influence over the electric kid.
Okay. What is your purpose in this fight?
To reclaim the package to impress the Mantis. And excellent. Maybe get Thalia a date. It seems kind of like important.
It is to her, a little bit. That's very kind of you. Does everyone else have the same purpose?
To reclaim the package, because the Mantis told us to. And find Thalia something to eat, because she stated she was hungry.
I think she seemed more thirsty. But...
Either way, she's looking for a snack.
Lovely.
Oh, amazing.
Steve, what is your purpose in this fight?
Steve is also trying to reclaim the package to impress the Mantis.
So, and yeah, I guess he's on board for helping Thali out.
I would not have, like, made... That seems like a secondary goal, and the primary goal, everyone... I guess we're all the same on all the goals. I will add a team to the pool. Does any team member mistrust the leader or the team?
Yes!
Yes, KT.
I don't know. Everyone is calling him EK. He introduced himself as Electric Kid.
Seems awful suspicious.
Sus.
I mean, I imagine especially to someone who can't read that that does not seem like the same person.
I mean, or maybe we just have someone who's jealous of a second character with a duo alphanumeric name. Maybe EK is just stepping on KT's turf.
Maybe EK better keep on stepping till they're out this neighborhood. EK gets his clothes folded while he's still wearing them.
Team no longer feels safe.
Yeah, if no one mistrusted the team before now, I think Steve might. So am I hearing that we're removing a team?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I whispered yes at the beginning.
Oh, sorry, I thought that was
Yeah, that's fair.
I couldn't tell whose whispered yes that was.
No, that's totally fair. I guess that was my way of emphasizing he was less distrustful of EK, but still distrustful in general.
Okay.
He's kind of starting to feel guilty about his distrust, but it's not there yet.
No.
To be fair, you have two heartbreakers on assignment and just something just there.
The Midnighters have a rep, well. Too.
Is this one of the useful ones or non-useful? Oh, nope. It's one of the useless ones.
They haven't been getting a lot of good press recently.
Black Falcon has a hunch they were involved in the Sky Base falling. They did destroy the Orca's stadium. They've definitely not done many other things, including triggering the passage of dangerous legislation.
I like that there's an awareness that they destroyed Orca's stadium, and then it's like, nah, not useful, though. Okay, I'm Bad removing breath. One team from the pool. TLDR.
Well, that's rude.
It just sounds like there's mistrust.
just be thankful she's not removing one team per reason.
Yeah. Watch it. I'm a mean
GM. How do you have negative team?
Is your team ill-prepared or off-balance?
No.
My inclination is to say you're not. You did all show up actually, like, prepared to do something.
Yeah,
tonight,
that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
You're not off-balance yet. I will let you keep that one. So we are at three team in the pool, unless our leader would like to mark a condition to prevent removing that one team.
Angry. The vice is perpetually angry.
Shocking to me.
He smells real bad now, and that has, like, infuriated him.
So we are entering this fight with four team in the pool, and Steve has just rolled a 5.
Someone said earlier they needed potential. The vice watches his heart crackle.
I mean, I wouldn't be, like... I'd be fine if I'm fine either way. I won't be heartbroken if it doesn't go through. But also, if we do want to actually blow up these weapons like we were asked to, I would also not mind that, actually doing that.
That's fair. If KT will help out, the vice will also.
KT shall stop bending heat and light to reveal themselves as the Electric Kid's tendrils of electricity spark and hammer around him. KT shall reach forward and gravitonically pull the weapons into the electrical path for one team.
And the vice, without really consciously realizing it, wants this to succeed so badly. He starts to channel his innate gift that comes with his St. James line, and he is expanding the Electric Kid's ability to finally control his powers and allowing him more free use of it with his intention in mind. his eyes glow softly with the backlight of an eclipse.
And it looks awesome. Okay.
Naturally.
So what happens, Michael, on a 7 for this one?
So it's just directly engaging threat.
Okay. I have my thing pulled up, so...
On a hit, I trade blows. And then I get to pick one from the directly engaged threat list. I am going to create an opportunity for my allies. Because that's what we came here to do.
Awesome.
So I am not resisting their blows.
The weapons that are fighting back.
The weapons that are exploding.
You're kind of in a basement beneath where you're trying to distract the people.
Correct.
Yeah, it's like one of those large open areas. There's like a 20-foot ceiling. There's loading docks on the far end. And there's just happens to be like some fireproof, like blast-proof doors that are slightly cracked with a small trail of chemicals like out before the electric kid started exercising his powers.
Okay, let's see. How am I going to escalate this?
Well, or I take a powerful blow, or yeah.
Yeah.
Slash, you get to do whatever you want. Is also how that works.
Well, I'm going to say that, first of all, these suckers explode, man. I think it is so effective that you kind of take out the floor of this kind of loading dock. The great news is everyone is distracted.
Excellent. Excellent.
That was achieved. They are all paying attention to you now.
KT shall start waving.
That's so kind of them. You, in the midst of this, grab everyone's attention, but you do realize that the package that you are supposed to be retrieving has also fallen. And it's hard to tell because there's quite a bit of noise, but it kind of seems like there might be a large crack.
Oh, snap.
No, crack.
And I'm going to ask you to take a powerful blow.
All of us or just the electric kid?
Just the electric kid. I'll,
okay.
I think the other two of you saw where this was going and maybe ducked.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair.
I'm not going to punish you for Steve's roll.
Oh, boy. That is a full 10 when I don't want to get one. Kaboom. So yeah, that is a 3 plus a 6 plus 1 condition mark. Cool. So I take a powerful blow. So I must remove myself from the situation, flee, pass out, etc. Lose control of myself or my powers in a terrible way. Or two options from the 7 to 9 list.
I will say I do kind of feel like you've lost control of your powers. And if you want to...
Yeah, no. I feel like that makes the most sense. I think that's what I was going to choose, is lose control of my powers in a terrible way.
Part of that could just be you got fine control of electricity for the first time. Instead of arcing wildly, it was like a pressure washer stream of electricity. And you had no warning that that was coming.
Yeah. And since you rolled a 10, I am going to say that in addition to kind of breaking the floor, you have unfortunately broken the package. And this creature from another planet, the Licklick, is kind of pulling itself out of this container. The Licklick is a monstrosity.
They're back.
They're back. Kyra's back, y'all. Yeah, so the Licklick is just floating ball of tongues.
Why?
Well, I was watching my brother play the Spider-Man game, and he kept, like, grimacing every time the Venom's, like, tongue was doing weird, gross stuff, and I ran with it.
Have either of you... I apologize to interrupt, but have either of you seen the 90s animated show The Tick, based on the comic book of the same name?
I have not.
Oh, there's a wonderful episode where The Tick, superhero, fights this creature made of tongue muscle, because I think they decided that tongue muscle was amongst the strongest in the human body. But something happens, and the tick's sidekick gains this tongue creature's taste ability, and he's sitting on the tick, and all of a sudden he starts shuddering and going, "I can taste your back."
Yeah, no, apparently the Kyra method of creating villains is just, what's something gross and let's make a lot of it. So you've heard of too many teeth, now introducing too many tongues. Yeah, so the Lick-Lick is free now, and it's just floating there with all its tongues. It kind of looks like it's maybe going for one of the henchmen. What do you do?
They said they wanted it back. They never said it still had to be in the container. We're still good.
I like the way you think.
I'd like to roll to attempt to defend the henchmen.
All right. Why don't you give me that roll?
It's going to be plus a savior.
Ooh, okay.
That is going to be a 6 plus a 1 plus a 2.
All right.
Plus a minus 2 due to insecure being marked for a 7 total.
On a 7 to 9, it costs you. So you expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation. And we'll do that in a second. But would you like to add a team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect, or clear a condition?
These are all phenomenal, but I've had four, KT has had four conditions for like half a year now. So we're going to clear insecure as KT rises in the air, bolstering themselves by absorbing some of the ambient light, becoming the brightest thing in the warehouse as they extend their arms, widen their fingers, and create a cage of hardened light around the Lick-Lick in order to keep it from, licking the henchmen, I guess. Each of the tongues writhing around the little bars of light holding it in one place. And I guess by that definition, they are technically exposing themselves to danger because there's no missing the fact that they are here now.
That is certainly true. I am inclined to say that maybe the henchmen start firing at you, but I think they're fleeing. I'm sorry. I think that the Lick-Lick starts spitting at you, and they do have acid spits, so I think not a ton of it's hitting you, but I think where it does it maybe burns a little bit.
Ouch. You guys, this does not feel very good.
You're doing great, bud.
If neither
you guys
of you
are starting to hurt.
I might escalate the situation again.
You just hear it. There's a kind of dim panel voice bubble that echoes out. How was this not enough of a distraction?
Oh, the guards are distracted.
He is going to start, as awful as it sounds, going after the Lick-Lick. His intention is to disarm it, get it to a point where he can take it out. You said the guards were fleeing, right?
Yeah. A note on disarming. It doesn't have any arms, but I understood your intent. Yeah.
Right. He doesn't quite know, and that's going to be affecting his fighting style. He's definitely doing a lot of Robin crouching and like kind of like hopping around it.
Giving a Lick-Lick a licking.
He's definitely like striking out with like his kind of like fists and like kind of kicking at it, but like just trying to like dodge around and strike it. And he's trying to exert a little bit of his, you know, influence on powers, but he doesn't know if this thing is just like, you know, muscly tongues. if there's nothing like, you know, no source of external power, meta power, magic, scientific or otherwise, his powers have no effect on it. So he's kind of being like cautious, but like still like trying to get a measure of it. So yeah, I guess he's engaging tongues. He realizes he threw Steve
right in time for Valentine's.
He threw EK into a bad situation. He would still like blame EK for the floor exploding, but he knows that was his plan.
Yeah.
And the other thing is having difficulties with acid tongues. So this is his effort. This is what
I mean.
He can try to do.
Who doesn't have problems with acid tongues?
It sounds for a directly like engage a threat.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me.
That is what I will try to roll with a plus 2 danger.
Boom! That's an 11.
11.
Wow.
Okay.
You picked.
So the vice is going to resist or avoid the tongues, and as much as he'd kind of like, especially around Valentine's Day, like to impress these tongues, it does seem more like prudent to create an opportunity for the allies. So that is what he is going to do. Hopefully, gives Electric Kid some chance to recover and the other thing a chance to be less covered in acid.
Yeah, yeah. I do think that KT is getting pelted with much less acid now. Steve, what are you doing?
Steve is pulling himself back to his feet, kind of double checking that he's not bleeding from somewhere. And then he's going to look around. Can he see the case thing? Or no, shit, no, it's out of the case. Never mind. Let's see.
Perhaps he was assessing the situation. The
I might be. How big is this?
It's like a meter in diameter.
That's a lot of tongues.
In diameter.
So many tongues.
Okay, okay. So like
it does like seem to like one of those expand like and contract, and I think at its largest it is about a meter in diameter.
Okay, it's pretty gross.
It's pretty gross. It also doesn't follow any of the laws of physics, as far as we can tell.
So. Obviously. KT, you said you were like making like solid light bars around it, trying to contain it.
KT had essentially thrown a hard light version of Big Hands around it. KT got its tongue to keep it from getting to the henchmen. I'm not sure if it's light box technically or more like a little barred wall, but it had stopped it or at least distracted.
Okay. So you've got hard light hands grabbing it. I'm going to spend my last two burn to overcharge and channel the full capacity of my incredible electric powers to reshape my environment. And basically, like, do channel. Okay, I've got it. Basically, like, arc electricity through all of the tongues, because they're like tongues, so they're like, they're wet, and so they, you know, channel electricity really well. And then use that to just kind of, like, basically create like electric tethers to any like metal object in the area to just kind of like drag it down and back and contain it. And I spend my last two burn to automatically take a 10 plus for my unleash my powers.
Nice.
Cool. So it sounds like this thing is pretty well contained then. Well, okay. So you take a 10 plus on unleash your powers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess you choose two from the list. Sorry, I'm getting ahead.
Or no, it's just an unleash my powers.
Okay. But you so, get yeah, an automatic 10.
Yeah. On a 10 plus, I do it.
Okay. I'm reading the wrong thing on my...
Oh, no, it's fine. Yeah, no, I have, like, two burn moves, and one of them is, like... Yeah, one of them is for unleash my powers, and the other is for engaging threats, and I get them confused all the time.
Cool. Yeah, so this is successful, and so you're forming a sort of metal cage around the Lick-Lick.
Yeah, like, using electricity to, like, magnetize it down to other metal objects, and, like, yeah, just electrically tether it to just in place.
Cool. So I do think this is successful. It kind of sounds like if this is being held together magnetically, you kind of need to keep your focus on it to...
Yeah, that checks out.
Okay. But the Lick-Lick is contained. And you, perhaps if you are looking around for your supervising adult-like person, if anyone's wondering where she went in all of this, is anyone wondering that?
Actually, she explicitly said she wanted us to create a distraction so she could reacquire the package, correct?
She did.
And we destroyed the package. But we did create a distraction. Therefore, I believe we should get partial credit. So where is
she? We're also in the process of retaining the package. So
repackaging the package, if you will.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. So you... absolutely deserve some credit here. But unfortunately, when you look for Talia, she is a bit preoccupied at the moment because she is being detained, I guess, by this.
It's not Jimmy the parakeet, is it?
No, it's not. So she is kind of just like in the grasp of and trying to escape, but not very effectively. She's in the grasp of what appears to be a human muscular system, a very tall one, about 8 feet tall, just a muscular system.
What?
Is that Mr. Bones' brother, Mr. Muscles?
I mean, I need a little more than that, because, like, what is that?
Are you perhaps assessing the situation?
It's meat.
So, I mean, like, is it a human musculatory system?
Yeah, yeah.
If it's not supported by bones, is it on the, like, how upright is it?
Shockingly upright for not being made of bones.
Okay.
So not like she's being slapped with raw beef or something like that.
No, just a lot of muscle.
Does it have a head?
It does. I mean, it's a full human muscular system. Pretty tall.
Okay, so I'm picturing now the Colossal Titan, not colossal.
Yeah. I'm imagining something from Attack on Titan.
I'm just making sure that's like, okay, I got a good picture of like what is in front of me.
Yeah, I mean, you might remember that you did get a text from Lilith that might make more sense now.
He was very sure she was talking about Pitbull, but this might actually be like, oh, okay, she was trying to help. She wasn't specific enough, so, you know, she failed, but...
I don't know what you're missing. This is Beefcake, and he is Joe Science's muscle. That's what she told you.
Literally. Huh.
So, and it kind of looks like, I mean, Beefcake is... I don't know why I name these things the things I do. Beefcake is... currently kind of brawling with Talia. It seems he is kind of looking at the Lick as well, and seems like perhaps he was sent here by Joe Science, who is also interested in this interdimensional rodent.
So the Vice is going to shed off the boxing tape he was wearing around his arms to kind of avert the acid from getting to him, because it's starting to eat through. And he is going to fling both of his Falco rings towards the meat creature and just start sprinting in that direction. His goal is to really get in the way of / protect Talia. She's not going to have a great date or any date with the mantis if this thing gets its muscles on her. Whatever role you feel is best.
That sounds like a defend. That.
Yes, I feel like that is fair. Savior is -1. I am insecure. There will be a -3 going into this.
I am shocked. It is a 4. That is a miss. Yeah, given the -3.
That is a 6 plus a 1 -3 for a 4.
All right, then.
We only have 2 team remaining, so there's no making that a hit unless we had a rule breaker and no Agatha tonight.
Can Steve charge his burn again?
Sure.
Can KT pretend that 4 was a 7? I mean, in KT's defense, KT cannot read English.
If you can describe to me what you are doing to charge your burn, I will let you charge it again.
So the floor above us fell through, our ceiling, their floor, right?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. So there's like a whole bunch of, so there's like a burst water pipe and there's like water everywhere and there's like some electrical cables kind of dangling dangerously close to it. And Steve is going to like step into the electrified water and just like charge himself back up again. Do not do this at home.
It looks cool. Do not do it at home. I will let you. Charge that burn again then.
Yes. Okay, cool. Okay, so I roll plus conditions, and this time I do want to roll high. Okay, cool. That's a hit. So when I charge my burn, on a hit I hold 3, on a 7 and 9 I mark another condition.
Question real quick, if you would allow it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
What happens if that 9 is a 10 and theoretically can a teammate spend team in the pool to turn that into a 10?
I would get my 3 burn, and I would just not have to mark a condition.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. I don't think it's worth spending a team on. Steve is going to mark guilty because because as he's doing this, he realizes that he's doing the dangerous shit that his mom is worried that he's doing and is going to have to face her about that. So I get 3 burn, and then I'm going to spend. So what did we roll?
The vice rolled a four.
Rolled a four.
For defending.
And we have two team in the pool. I can spend my burn to add plus one to a roll with boost.
Okay, so then we'd only need one team to get it up to a hit.
I shall do that.
Okay. How are you helping out?
We never really did clarify because those kind of questions really are technically above our pay grade. But technically, KT's power set includes control of the light spectrum. And we didn't know if that was in like a 1970s Super Friends. Hey, we're going to create a little snowing sled out of light and slide down this hill. Or if that means like, you know, technically, I think it's light is the visible spectrum of the electromagnetic field of.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess the question is, would you consider heliokinesis just the control over the visible, just the light spectrum of the electromagnetic spectrum? Or like, hey, we're going to take this light and make some bricks out of it and build a helicopter real quick.
Yeah, so I think given that KT's powers probably depend a little on who the writer is, but I'm in charge tonight, and I aim to bring a real cosmic horror meets the Super Friends vibe to the party, so I will
Super
let you do
Friends.
It.
Super Friends. Super yeah. Friends is all I needed to hear. KT is going to extend two of their fingers and create poles of light that will allow the electricity arcing from the electric kid
yes.
to travel around it like a ground wire towards the beefcake.
Excellent. So Talia's successfully defended, and you, Vice, get to decide whether you want to add a team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect, or clear a condition.
As much as he would like to clear conditions, he's worried about the outcome of everything happening here. So he is going to add a team to the pool, and as he flung his falcon rings and sprinted forward, I think he, you know, it's up to you as the GM, mm-hmm. but I would posit that it was possible he exposed himself to danger as he's now ended up like possibly between Talia and Beefcake.
I think Beefcake has kind of had a grip on Talia and he does let go of her so that he can pay attention to you. I think he grabs you instead. So I think you've got very muscly. I think you're in a headlock.
And just before we get too far ahead, I think we were at two team. We took one away, then I added one. Are we still at two team left in the pool overall?
Yes.
All right.
Does that count with the one that KT just used?
Yeah,
that,
so the one
the
we
minus
took away
one
was,
I was counting.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay.
And then I was trying to add it back because, you know, my four that I knew was going to be a four. Like,
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
It was what I felt needed to be done, but I knew it was going to miss. It's a minus three. Come on.
Just to recap, the henchmen are gone. They are smarter and they left the scene. They are smarter than you. And they are gone. And Steve is currently pretty preoccupied trying to keep the lick in its little metal magnet container. The vice is in a headlock with Beefcake. And KT is doing their best to assist. Just as a recap.
What is a... So Beefcake has Mr. Vice in a headlock.
Mm-hmm.
I think, let's see, I think KT's going to attempt to, ooh, no, that would be a horrible idea. Let's see. We're going to try to get Talia out of, away from Mr. Beefcake. Apologies, Talia, but it's no longer Valentine's Day. So I'd like to try to, I guess I'd like to try to roll defend again and keep her from Mr. Beefcake's clutches.
Go ahead and give me that roll.
That is a four plus a two plus a two for Savior. And Insecure is no longer marked for an eight total.
All right, then. So on an eight, it costs you to expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation. But you do add a team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect or clear a condition. So why don't you tell me what you're doing to defend her.
The two poles of light that we're shooting from KT's fingertips, as they guide the, after they guided the lightning bolts towards Mr. Beefcake, laughed in the face of physics, bent themselves, and started building and knitting, crocheting, if you will, a little light wall between Mr. Beefcake and Ms. Talia. And unfortunately, I'm going to be selfish one more time and clear one more condition. We're no longer going to be guilty. We'll just be afraid and angry. That seems like the human condition.
Yes. Which is apt because you do expose yourself to danger. There's a whole lot of electricity flying around this little party, it seems like. I think I'm going to ask you to take a powerful blow.
That is going to be a 5 plus a 5 plus a 2 for a total of 12.
Uh-oh.
Wow. So on a 10 plus, you must remove yourself from the situation, flee, pass out, etc., lose control of yourself or your powers in a terrible way, or two options from the 7 to 9 list.
Let's see. Let's lose control of... lose control. Last time I did this, KT lost control of their powers in a terrible way. Let's have KT lose control of themselves.
Okay, what does that look like?
Well, he wanted cosmic horror.
Uh-oh. I like so, the two reactions to you saying that.
We're gonna, as the light and the electricity flow, and it's been a really long time since KT really had a moment to themselves and to kind of process everything that's happened to him. It's kind of hard to focus and really ground yourself and know who you really are. And as they start to forget that, the color starts draining from their skin and their eyes as they turn black, like the depths of space, and they start losing their human shape and become a large ball of a black void of nothing that slowly starts pulling everything towards themselves in the surrounding area.
Ice would like to assess the situation.
Yeah, why don't you give me that roll?
I have a 0 to superior, but it was a 10. It was a 6 plus a 4 plus a 0 for a 10.
That's amazing.
Okay, two questions.
All right, these are two important questions. Give me a second. If the GM approves, my first question would be a slight alteration, and not who here is the most vulnerable to me, but what part of Beefcake is the most vulnerable to me?
I will allow it. Beefcake being a Joe Science creation, much like Mr. Bones, is controlled in much the same way. So at the back of his neck muscle, you see this device that appears to be what's kind of keeping him upright and running and doing whatever it is he does. So if you take that out, he might just be muscles that aren't sentient anymore.
All right. I guess the first thing that the vice is gonna try to do is, I don't know if this is a role or if like how you want to handle this, but he's gonna shout over to EK and say, "Hey man, I need a spark over here, just like Mr. Bones. Can you hit his neck? Its neck? Can you hit the neck, the muscly part above the knob? I think it's a head.
I know what a neck is."
Yeah, just trying to be thorough. Joke out through the headlock.
Yeah, he's going to charge forward like as fast as he can and kind of dodge his way through the fight up onto this thing's back. And then, just channel his electricity into like a giant ball on his fist and then just blast this thing as hard as he can in the back of the neck.
Okay. Are you using burn? Are you unleashing your powers?
I'm just straight up punching this thing.
Because this sounds like it could be directly engaging a threat or unleashing your
power. I was aiming for a directly engage.
Are you still trying to hold on to the lick?
Ooh. I might.
Because that to me, if you're trying to do both at once, feels more unleash your powers.
Yeah, no, I think I let go of the lick.
Okay, then you can directly engage a threat.
Cool.
I'm not afraid, so I get to roll plus 3 danger. Boom! 1 plus 6 plus 3.
Okay, so on a 10 plus, you pick 2 from the list.
Excellent. Oh, man. I'm going to take something from Mr. Muscles, and it's going to be whatever this control thing is on its back. I'm just going to zap the crap out of it with lightning and then rip it out.
Yep, it is super fried.
Excellent. And then I am going to also resist and avoid their blows, I guess.
Okay. What? Yeah, so this works phenomenally. You absolutely fry this little control pack. You do not get hit in the process. There are no bones, and now that whatever is going on is not going on anymore. These slabs of meat just kind of collapse on the vise. On the other hand, the lick is now free again, and KT is indisposed.
So this is my second question.
Okay.
And it's kind of a cheeky use of the question, so the GM is absolutely able to give it the nosedive or the veto. But instead of what here can I use to, it's more of a plea. Can I use the crack containment case to essentially, as KT has become a giant black hole sucking things towards themselves, to essentially intercept and try to grab the cracked containment case and slip between KT and the Licklick in a Hail Mary hope that the gravitational force of KT draws the Licklick into the containment device, at least whether or not Vice gets caught up in whatever this is.
Are you asking how we can best end this quickly?
Yeah, I guess that. How can we best end this quickly?
I know what you want here is a plus one to your plan, and I am feeling generous, so I will give it to you. It's crazy. I like it. Roll away.
Like, I'm gonna call this
unleashing your powers.
Okay.
So take a plus one to that.
It'll only be a minus one. slightly complicated. Plus 2 to freak, minus 2 to hopeless, but plus 1 because what he's attempting to do is grab the crack containment and hop between Licklick and this gravitational force. So that's, I guess, a plus 1 total, because it's plus 2, minus 2, plus 1. 9.
And there are still 2 team in the pool.
Actually, that's a 10, because it's...
Oh, that's not counting the situation.
Yeah, that's a 6 plus 2, it's a minus 2 plus 1, so that's a 10.
Do you want to tell us what this looks like? I mean, I know you kind of told us what you were doing, but is there any...
Yeah, the vice, like, crawls and, like, he pulls out his Falco ring out of the flesh of collapsed beefcake, and he's using it to, like, ice pick his way out from under this massive muscle. It's very heavy. He's estimating, like, 400 pounds of, like, packed, dense muscle in this horror. It's horrible. It probably smells bad, too, and it's in his clothing along with other chemical, nasty, bird-like smells. But KT gravitation just, like, helps him a little bit, and he's able to slip out from under it. He's just beat up, parts of his suit frayed, rushing over to the crack containment case, gets it under his arm, and he's, like, linebacker style, arm forward, going through the debris, and just, like, plants his feet right in the trajectory of the formless KT and the Licklick with the crack aimed towards this tonguey creature, as like the panel just shows complete chaos, gravitation, electricity, and everything just swirling around.
Yeah, so you are able to successfully detain the Licklick. KT is still black holing a little bit.
As KT is wont to do.
Yes. I mean, the gravitation being what it is, I'm just wondering if anyone wants to...
I've asked for a lot so far. I do imagine that, like, the vice is probably with his contained Licklick swirling around KT, not in a dissimilar manner that Stitch did in All Dolled Up. That's where all those conditions came from, ironically, that we're clearing up now.
I think that's literally every single one of them, yeah.
My characters get your characters in trouble.
But you are now orbiting, so
yeah, I'm gonna look.
You pay the price too, I guess,
at the moment, because I feel like I've done like a lot. But if nothing happens, he'll eventually regain his composure as he orbits this celestial entity.
Slight correction, although unnervingly required. It's less orbiting, more approaching the event horizon.
Ah, I appreciate the distinction.
One of those really, really hurts.
KT, you feeling all right there? Graviton?
As if in response to the feeling all right there, you just see the vice, you know, Ralph everywhere as he continues to swirl and begins to lose composure. He has his mask on, so he's like just like trying to rip it up in time to like get some of it out. Only half of it gets out. This adds to the composure of smells soaking his current suit.
Oh, Vice is having a time tonight. I mean, everyone's having a time, it would appear.
So it would seem.
Anything for the mission. Anything for the mission.
Would KT hear any of that in their current situation?
Well, KT is your character. I would perhaps recommend yes on account of, I'm not sure how else we're going to wrap this up, but it's up to you.
No, that's a pretty good point. So it was a powerful blow that I lost control of myself or my powers in a terrible way.
And as GM, I don't feel like that needs to be a lasting condition.
That's no fun. Would you consider, like, could I attempt to unleash my powers to reshape me?
Yes.
That's going to be a 5 plus a 6 plus a 0. And Hopeless was cleared. Some time ago, I think, for a total of 11.
All right.
Heck yeah.
A very resounding is heard as KT closes their mouth and regains their flesh prison.
I think perhaps the vice falls at no longer being a cold towards KT.
I think it'd be a lot funnier if if instead of approaching the event horizon, the device now just orbits.
Okay.
So instead of almost colliding with KT, I'm assuming the device is now more gently orbiting while cradling.
Oh, he said orbiting. He didn't say gentle.
Well, that's fair.
One small yet very important correction. Not so much colliding. Are you familiar with the term spaghettification?
I am.
The vice would be doing their best Lady Stitch impersonation.
You know, and I think from his perspective of any ways to go out, that definitely beats going out via Lick Lick or Beefcake. So
what's the situation right now?
Beefcake is down. The henchmen have all fled. The Lick Lick is apprehended, and
Earth no longer has a miniature black hole.
Yeah, so by all accounts.
As the vice continues to orbit KT, he finishes off whatever remnants of beef jerky and candy nuts were in his stomach. He pulls down his mask and like lets out a very uncomfortable, sickly burp, and is wrapping boxing tape around the crack on the contained Lick Lick vessel.
Awesome.
I imagine there's probably, like, you know, that little Jurassic Park tongue effect, like pushing against the crack in the boxing tape. Very fun.
This is awful.
Very horrible, though.
Great. And I think you see Talia kind of pop back up and gives you, like, double thumbs up and says, I am going to tell the Mantis that you all didn't even break a window because... remarkably, all of the windows in the building are still intact. There's a crater in the floor, but you didn't break any windows.
Yeah, the floor more dissolved, more than imploded.
But you didn't break any windows.
I like that optimism.
The vice weakly croaks out. Mission accomplished. I assume he's still orbiting.
KT shall gently put the vice down.
As they do, he just, like... his body hits the floor in whatever direction or position it was in, and it just continues to slump on the floor until gravity has just, like, allowed him to be at rest in whatever position that is, but he is fully on the floor.
I think Talia is going to come pick up the Lick Lick containment unit. I'm going to go back to the rendezvous point with the Mantis. You all can come if you want. She's going to look at Vice and say, he's not that judgmental. He probably won't care that you smell like that.
Yeah, I hope not. And he just kind of like lifts his arm and kind of gives himself a sniff and just like kind of retches. I forgot to ask this earlier. Did I I mean, even though it wasn't a vice doing it, it was his plan. Can I clear angry for break something important, referencing the containment of the lick-lick?
I will allow it. Sorry.
And he dragged himself off the floor to follow to the rendezvous point.
We'll say they're meeting at the train depot.
It's a parrot warehouse.
No more birds. Yeah, so you've kind of found this back alley corner near the train depot. Talia's kind of maintained control of the lick-lick. The case still seems like a little fragile, so she's just sitting on it to kind of hope it doesn't get out. And yeah, so you're there for a little bit, a few minutes before the mantis touches down. And he kind of looks at y'all and says, well,
we didn't break any windows.
Okay. A good start, I guess. And you seem to have reacquired the package. Looks a little worse for wear.
And at that, Vice will just kind of meekly raise his hand and say, yeah, that was my bad. It was my plan. We did get the case back, but the thing did get out for a little while, and that was my fault.
And the mantis kind of appraises you and says, taking accountability. Good. I like it. And I think he's trying to shift your labels there.
Is there any chance I would have possibly earned respect out of that? I don't know exactly like how it works, but if there's a chance I earned influence over a character, I mark one respect out of four potential. It's essentially equated to earning influence over someone.
Yeah, I mean, it's the mantis. I don't know that I'd go as far as to say.
Right, exactly. That's why I figured I'd throw that point out. So, you know,
I think it's you're on your way to influence. Is that diplomatic enough? Let's see. How is he trying to shift your labels? I think that he is trying to shift savior up and your superior down, because he's seeing you do something that's a little humble.
That makes sense. And as he's on the respect list as my father's greatest enemy or my parents' greatest enemy, he is going to accept that. So his savior goes from a -1 to 0, and his superior goes to a -1. Heading in the opposite direction of Moonflower, as always intended.
Talia's going to kind of look at the mantis and say, did you get Jack still? And he is going to say, it's not that important, and change the subject and look at KT and say, what was your read on how that went?
It was quite fortunate.
Okay, then. And he's going to look at the electric kid, say, your turn. Thoughts?
I had a lot of fun. And I am honored that you thought of me when you thought of people that, you know, could do stuff.
And Talia kind of, like, loud whispers at him, he wants your autograph.
Sorry, it's fine.
The mantis is going to look away from you, and he's going to turn back to Talia and say, okay, how would you grade them? And she's going to look over all you and say, little unpolished, lots of guts, though. I like them. I don't know that she was trying to shift anyone's labels, but is she?
Lord Mantis, did we receive a satisfactory grade?
I wasn't literally grading you.
Does this mean you will go out for dinner with Lady Talia?
And he kind of shakes his head and says, we eat dinner all the time. Why would we? Anyway. And he... Steve, what do you have on you that he might potentially sign?
I don't even know.
He is going to pick up a loose brick and sort of laser engrave his name into it. His Lamanta is not his real name, obviously, but and he's going to kind of awkwardly hand you the brick and shake his head. Say, okay, we will revisit this later then, I guess. Keep up the good work. And he's going to fly off. And I think Talia's going to watch him go and then just kind of look back at the heroes and say, yeah, I mean, for babysitting, it was pretty all right. Gonna go take care of this thing, though. And she nods to the lick-lick and says, I will catch you later, probably. And she is going to leave as well.
KT will start waving.
Thanks, KT.
The vice, you know, is pretty much brain dead at this point, but he just waves. He thinks he gets it.
Everyone else is.
Cool. Is there anything else anyone wants to do?
Just the fact that there's three side-by-side panels, KT waves, and then expands, and KT and Vice are waving. And then the third one, all three of us are waving.
That does seem like kind of a sweet way to end off our heroes getting a good grade in superheroing and waving goodbye to their assessors. I know it's a little weird when we've had such disparate casts to do end of session, but I also want to do them because they're kind of important for
mechanics. Getting experience.
Such things. Okay, so we'll start with Agatha.
The last time we leveled up Agatha and Gustav, they weren't even part of this publishing house. I guess Agatha and Gustav, I mean, they were inducted into the Heartbreaker, so I guess you can't be any more closer to the team than that.
That is so true. Okay, so for both of them growing closer to the team, who made each of them feel welcome?
Technically, it's going to be Ryan and the electric kid.
Okay, so Agatha grew closer to Ryan.
Correct.
Does Ryan already have influence on Agatha?
Yes.
I am just going to shift your labels on Kaylee's behalf then. Let's go ahead and Superior. We will lower Savior. Gustav felt welcomed by the electric kid.
Yay.
Does the electric kid have influence over you?
Yes. Wow. In fact, I think the electric kid was the very first person that gained influence over Gustav.
Steve, you get to shift some labels.
Let's see here.
How does Steve change Gustav's labels?
Steve sees Gustav. Gustav was kind of a badass. So he's going to up your danger and lower your freak.
Both my danger, excuse me, both Gustav's danger and freak are now zeros.
So the vice in his one issue in this volume. Did you grow closer to the team, grow into your own image of yourself, or grow away from the team?
Based on this issue, I think he would have felt that he grew closer to the team.
All right.
Was obviously not ideal, but no one abandoned him, no one died, and they got slight kudos at the end. So I would say that, especially because of time and just because I'm trying to play the character authentically and not just like as whatever, he was not welcoming at all to KT. I think he only referred to them as the thing, so he felt welcomed by Electric Kid.
Okay.
If only by the fact that he saved him in his moment of need from Beefcake. He's gaining influence. Okay.
Cool. And then you can getting clear recognition or mark potential.
I'm going to clear insecure because they actually did it.
He might
still feel hopeless and afraid.
And last but not least, Electric Kid, did you grow closer to the team, grow into your own image of yourself, or grow away from the team?
I think I definitely grew closer to the team. And yeah, I think I probably grew closest, I'm going to say, Vice. Like, we have kind of like an antagonistic relationship, but like, I feel like we do, you know, work together pretty well. And yeah, like had some fun back and forth.
Cool. You guys are battle buddies.
Yeah, I have a begrudging respect for him.
Does the Vice already have influence over you?
He does indeed.
Okay.
Indeed,
shift away.
It would be just bizarre not to raise his Savior after he saved me. And, you know, I guess it doesn't make at all sense to lower his danger because his powers are dangerous. I even use team to try to make them less dangerous. We will lower that superior because we do appreciate him saving us, but we're a little surprised it happened after everything that preceded it. He also didn't call, so there's judgment there.
So the savior up and superior down?
Yes.
Cool. Well, I think that is our session then.
Wonderworld Comics is an actual play podcast of Masks, A New Generation by Brennan Conway. This issue was GM'd by Kyra Nelson, who can be found on Twitter at Kyra M. Nelson. Graviton is played by Sawyer A. The Vice is played by Justin Reed, who can be found on his Twitter at WWComicsStitch. The Electric Kid is played by Michael Dunham, who can be found on his Twitter at GalvanicMan. Wonderworld Comics is produced by Michael Dunham. This episode was edited by Kyra Nelson. The music is from Dvorak Symphony No. 9. Do you have questions or comments? You can get a hold of us on Twitter at WWComicsPodcast or send us an email at WWComicsPodcast@gmail.com.